All right. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. I love seeing a little bit of the sunshine coming through. That's really nice after a few gray days. Welcome to those of you who are at home online. We've got a few people that are still sick from just the Christmas bug. So if you're joining us online from home, glad to have you with us. I want to encourage you to open your Bibles there behind you to Psalm 112. It's on page 586. We're going to be starting a new series here called Generous God. So Psalm 112, it's on page 586. I'm getting a little bit of an echo here, but as long as that's all right with you guys, we'll keep going. So this is just an intro here to the series we're beginning here that's going to be over the next 7 weeks. We'll be talking about God's generosity and about our giving in response. If you've been paying attention to some of the church news or you've attended the church business meetings recently, you'll be aware that we are facing a sizable deficit in our church budget, both in anticipated giving and in our ongoing spending. And so the leadership team and a number of us in the church have been working on ways we can trim costs, seek new funding, and more importantly, trust God for the future of all that we do here. And that includes this series of teachings on what the Bible has to say about our giving and in view of God's generosity towards us. And so right now, just with that intro, you might be thinking, oh man, you know, if you've been here for a while, I've come on the wrong Sunday to talk about giving. Well, let me just encourage you to tune in and stay with us and to explore something new. You might think, why do I need to hear this? My giving is already set to direct debit. You know, why think about it? It's done. Well, there's a lot here for us in Scripture when we look at God's generosity towards us and our giving in response. And if you're new or you've been coming for a while and you're thinking, oh man, I knew it was coming sometime. Here we are, talks about giving. Let me encourage you again. This is in response to who God is and all that he's done for us. And so we want to talk about it in a way that's helpful and hopefully healthy for us as a community. So let me pray for us as we jump in. God, you are incredibly generous towards us. You have given us life, and you've given us your word and your promises. And we want to listen to and learn from and be changed by your word today. So as we open it up together, I pray that you'd open our hearts and our ears and our minds to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's start with this. Have you ever seen, let's see, do I have the next slide? Is this thing on or working? Tell you what. I don't know if I've got power in this, but, here we go. Take two. Have you ever seen the hashtag blessed in your socials? As of this morning, I looked, there's 145 million posts on Instagram with this hashtag. What does it tend to mean as we look at it? We use it to describe hashtag blessed as parts of the good life, right? On socials, it means, look at us. We're happy. We're healthy. Everything is going our way. Well, Psalm 112, page 586, gives us a picture of what the blessed life looks like according to the Bible. Right there in verse 1, do you see it? It says, blessed are those. So before we read it, let me just give us a couple of reminders about what it means to look at poetry in the Bible. The Psalms are full of poetry. They're really just a songbook, if you will. It's biblical poetry and biblical wisdom, and that means that it shows us patterns of who God is. It's not always necessarily promises if you take them one by one. So it's better to read multiple psalms to get the full picture of who God is and what God is like, rather than just zero in on one. Just like you would kind of need to listen to a whole album to understand the artist's message, what they have to say. You listen to a whole album of songs to get a sense of what the singer is trying to say. Let me give you an example of what I mean if you take just one psalm by itself. You've got one psalm in this whole book of songs that says, God is our refuge and our strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And it's true. Every word in this book is true. But you've got another psalm just a few pages over that says, God, where are you? God, wake up, hurry out and help me. Hurry up and help me. See, it isn't that God changes or that one psalm's truer than the other, but it's our feelings and our thoughts and our circumstances that change. And a lot of times the psalms reveal more about who it is that's singing than about what they're singing about. So here's the big idea in Psalm 112, and then we'll read it together. Psalm 112 tells us we have a generous God who gives us what we need and enables us to live generously towards others. We have a generous God who gives us what we need and enables us to live generously towards others. Let's read Psalm 112. It begins, "Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing." And so the structure of my talk here this morning is very simply 1, 2, 3, right? It's one question. And then as we look at the text, two warnings or cautions that we have as we look at the text. So one question and then two cautions. And then three ways of singing this song. Three ways of singing Psalm 112. And not just by reading it, but by living it out in practice. So let's start with one question. Who is this song really about? So we read it as a description of a righteous, good, and generous person, and we think that it's about us, that it's all about us, you know, hashtag blessed. But really, it tells us about God. We have to ask, if these people are blessed, then who is doing the blessing? This psalm tells us how our generous God provides and gives in a generous way. And to really understand it, we have to look at the psalm that comes right before it, Psalm 111. I was really puzzled putting this talk together at Psalm 112. As I looked at it, I kept thinking, this seems like a lopsided picture of reality. It seems to be all about us and who we are. And then I discovered, as I looked at it, that Bible scholars say that these two psalms are really, they kind of go together. They were written in a similar way, and they're meant to be read together, Psalm 111 and 112. So we're going to look back at that just for a moment. Already, as you look at it, you notice in our English translation, it has the same number of verses. It's got more or less the same number of lines. It has a lot of the same words. Both psalms begin the same way, praise the Lord. They've got a really similar outline or structure. It's like they would be two songs on the same album together. And so let me take a moment just to read Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. It's right there on the same page. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. So we look at these and we can see the connection between the two. But let me point out a couple of places where you see real overlap, a similarity, an echo, if you will, from one psalm to the other. One is about God. Did you see that? And the other one is about his people. So in Psalm 111, verse 3, his righteousness endures forever. And then it switches to the other psalm in verse 3, their righteousness endures forever. In verse 4, the Lord is gracious and compassionate. And then in 112, it says in the same verse, verse 4, those who are gracious and compassionate. Do you hear the echoes between the two songs? Verse 5 of Psalm 111, he remembers his covenant forever. And in 112, verse 6, it says they will be remembered forever. And the last one, verse 8, because his words and his works are established forever and ever. Do you see that? In verse 9 of 112, it says, their righteousness endures forever. So it could be summarized like this, and it's almost kind of like walking with 2 feet, right? 1 foot forward, and then the other foot forward. Psalm 111, because God is generous. Psalm 112, we can be generous. Just look at all of the giving that God does in Psalm 111, keeping that in front of us. Verse 5, he provides food for those who fear him. Verse 6, he gives his people land. And in verse 9, he provides redemption for his people. God provides. And because of that, Psalm 112, verse 5, we can be generous and lend freely. We can conduct our affairs with justice, it says. Verse 9, we can scatter abroad our gifts to the poor. And so because God is generous, we can be generous. That's what these two psalms together talk about. That's who we're singing about. And look at the good that comes when God's people live like that. Look at what happens for them. In verse 2, they're blessed. They flourish. We get an Old Testament picture here of what flourishing looks like. It's about their families and their homes and their overall well-being. Let's read that again in verse 2 of Psalm 112. Their children will be mighty. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Verse 3, wealth and riches are in their houses. And verse 4, even the darkness, in the darkness, light dawns for the upright. Good will come, verse 5, to those who are generous. And so they flourish. And then also look at what it says. It says they're stable. Verse 6 says they're never shaken. Their hearts are steadfast and secure, it says in verses 7 and 8. They're never afraid of anything, it says. Now, who would say no to that? I mean, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Sign me up for wealth and for riches with hashtag blessed, a little side dish of being stable and secure. I mean, who would say no? And that leads me to my two warnings with this psalm. Two cautions, if you will. Two dangers if we read this psalm the wrong way. The first is what we would call the prosperity gospel. You may not have heard that by name, but you might have heard this kind of teaching somewhere. The prosperity gospel says, just obey God and nothing will go wrong. You'll always have enough. You'll never see hardship. You'll be happy. You'll be healthy. And you'll be wealthy. But we know that that's not the way life really works. I mean, how many of us have asked ourselves, why does it seem like hardworking people try to be good and do good and yet never get ahead? And on the flip side, why does it seem like sometimes the worst kinds of people get away with everything and end up doing just fine? Have you ever asked yourself that? Take a closer look at Psalm 112. Does it really say, follow God and you'll never see trouble? Look closely. Does it say that God will get you out of every difficulty? Verse 7 tells us that bad news still happens. Verse 8 says we still have foes. That means enemies or hardships. Verse 4 reminds us there's still darkness. But the light dawns. And in verse 6, it says, things may shake you up, but you don't have to be shaken. So I don't know what your 2022 was like, but if you were happy to ring in the new year and say goodbye to some of the difficulties of the past year, let me tell you, you weren't alone. You know, looking back, I can say for me, it was a year full of some real challenges, some health stuff for me and for my family, some real challenges in work and in ministry, and some of the hardest parenting moments Pam and I have ever faced. And some of you know what this has been like. You've had some of your own difficulties yourselves. And you know what? I can honestly say that God has been good, even in the midst of some really difficult stuff. God has been good. But 2022 was hard, but praise God, I wasn't shaken. Did we see hard times? You know it. But God was faithful in the midst of it. So remember Psalm 111. We are not blessed because of who we are, but because of who God is. And remember Psalm 112. Because the promises of God are unshakable, those who trust in God will not be shaken. They won't be overwhelmed. So that's the danger of this first text. Let's look next at the next caution we've got, which is the message that says, just try harder. Do this in your own strength and effort. And that's what we would call the works gospel, that somehow you can work this out on your own. There's a danger to reading this kind of psalm and then say to yourself, right, okay, if I try to be good and I try to be generous and I lend enough money and I give enough money away to the poor, then maybe God will accept me. Maybe I can earn my blessing. The problem with this one is it gets it all backwards. You can't find your way to heaven by doing enough good. You can try, but it doesn't work. It's a little bit like this. We've got a couple of Liverpool fans here in the house, right? Satnam, I'm looking at you. If I put on a West Ham shirt, I'll switch it to Liverpool, actually. If I put on a Liverpool shirt and I buy even season tickets to every Liverpool game, first of all, I'd be away quite a bit, but that doesn't make me a fan. It's the other way around. It's because I'm a fan, because I love it, because I delight in every single match that I can take in, that I would buy a Liverpool shirt and be a season ticket holder. So look at verse 1 again of Psalm 112. It doesn't say, blessed are those who do the stuff, who give more, who lend more money. It says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in what God has to say. In other words, blessed are those who know that it's God who does the blessing. Look at the life of generosity that they live as a result. And so those are my two cautions here. Don't read this psalm as proof that if you give to God, he will give you more in return. That's the prosperity gospel. And second, don't read this psalm as a checklist of things you have to do for God's favor and approval. That's the gospel of works. It's the other way around. Because God is like this, Psalm 111, when you love him, when you praise him, you become more like him. He's a generous God. And when we worship a generous God, we become generous people. So next, three ways to sing this song. Three ways to sing it. And it doesn't just mean to read it and then to move on. It means to live it out in practice and how we are with one another and in our lives. First of all, let me encourage you to sing it with praise. And praise means we're in awe, we're in wonder. We say, look at what God is like. I mean, look at all of the describing words in Psalm 111. His works are great, glorious, and majestic. He is gracious and compassionate. His works are powerful and faithful and just. His words are trustworthy. Verse 9 says, holy and awesome is his name. And check out those action words as well. That was the describing words. Look at the action words in Psalm 111. He provides food. He remembers his promises. He gave land to his people. And that's not to mention who is doing the blessing in Psalm 112. This generous God is the source of all blessing and wealth and riches. He's the light in our darkness, and he is the one who gives good things. He's the source of our victory over our spiritual enemies. Did you see that? He's the reason our hearts can be steadfast and secure, the reason we won't be shaken and why we don't have to be afraid. So friends, let me just try this encouragement. If you find that your generosity is a bit on the stingy side or your giving is just too small, it may not be because your bank balance is too small or because your pockets are empty. It may be because your view of God is too small. So let me encourage you to remember who God is, and let this song inspire you again to praise. And so the posture that I have for this one as we look at this psalm, as we try to live it out, is just to live in a way that's hands up in worship. Next, sing this song with curiosity. And I mean curiosity or openness. You know, if we say we worship and we say, God, look at what you're like, then as we look at this song and sing it, we could say, God, look at what we could be like. And so our posture is with open hands. Ask yourself, what if I really trusted God fully with my life, with my children or my lack of children, with my marriage or with my singleness? What if I trusted God with my work or my lack of work, with my money, with my fears, with my enemies? What would happen if I gave until it hurt to those who needed it the most? What would happen if I tried lending freely and didn't expect anything in return? What would happen? So my encouragement to this psalm, and also to the series ahead of us in the weeks to come, and as we pray through this theme too in the 40 days ahead, don't just read this psalm or listen to these talks and then go home and just be like, well, that was nice. Pass the salt. Let this challenge you. Let it change you. And so we keep our open hands ready to receive and ready to give. And finally, another way to sing this song is to sing it with hope that no matter what, when we live a life that knows and trusts God, we have a secure future. And so the posture here with your hands or your arms might just be kind of crossing yourself in that security of knowing whose you are and who you are. Knowing what the future is like for those who trust and believe and obey Jesus. Verse 9 says, when we live a life, a Psalm 112 kind of life, we give towards things that last. Do you see that? Verse 3 says, their righteousness endures forever. So, you know, just on that theme of things lasting forever, it's been 14 days since Christmas. How many of us have something that you received for Christmas that you've already either entirely consumed, so it's gone, or you've returned it because you just didn't want it, or it's broken or lost? How many of us from Christmas have something that's already gone, broken, lost, or returned? Yeah, I see those hands. This psalm tells us that when we give generously, we give to things that last, and they last forever. They endure forever. So compare that to the warning that the singer drops in at the end of Psalm 112, verse 10. And I'll just pick it up in verse 9, actually. The righteousness of generous people endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. And then verse 10 says, the wicked will see this and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. So what do you want to last beyond you in this life? When they close that casket on you and lower you into the grave, do you want your life to be wasted? Do you want everything you've saved for or spent money on to come to nothing? Or do you want to have given yourself to something that lasts forever, something that matters? So if you're following Jesus, when you sing this song, let it fill you with hope that your future is secure, not because of anything that you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for you on the cross. All of us, Let it be a warning to us of the difference between a truly good life and a wasted life that comes to nothing. So what do we do with this psalm? Let me encourage us again. Let it inspire you. You know, lift your hands up in worship. Let it change you. Open your hands, stay curious, and be ready to give and to receive. Let it comfort you. You know, with those hands and arms crossed in front of you in the security of your future in heaven. But also let it warn you of the dangers of a wasted life. You know, all of this is just one more way to remember that God is incredibly generous and he has demonstrated his generosity in Jesus. There's one more way to read Psalm 112, and that's with King Jesus in mind, the blessed one, given to us as God's greatest show of generosity. Jesus was the righteous one who showed us the full picture of God's compassion. Jesus looked with triumph on his foes when he suffered death. And then when he defeated death in his resurrection 3 days later. And straight from Psalm 112 again, the horn of King Jesus, his dignity, his strength, will be lifted high in honor over an enduring kingdom that lasts forever. Jesus is a forever reminder that God is amazingly generous. So over the coming weeks, as we dive into this topic, we'll explore and celebrate and worship and be challenged by this generous God. I want to close with a poem by Malcolm Gait. It's a poem called As If. If you'd like to, we can kind of use this as a prayer. So pray with me as I read this, and then I'll close. The giver of all gifts asks me to give. The fountain from which every good thing flows. The life who spends himself that all might live. The root whence every bud and blossom grows. Calls me. As if I knew no limitation. As if I focused all his hidden force to be creative with his new creation. To find my flow in him, my living source. To live as if I had no fear of losing. To spend as if I had no need to earn. To turn my cheek as if it felt no bruising. To lend as if I needed no return. As if my debts and sins were all forgiven. As if I too could body forth his heaven. Let me pray. God, you are with us, and you have given us so much, and we rejoice. Lord, may we turn to worship and gratitude, not just today, but in the days and weeks ahead as we look at your generosity. And God, I pray that you would shape us together, individually and collective, from the inside out, to be people who live generously, who give of ourselves the way you gave of yourself. Lord, let this be a year that's marked by our incredible gratitude in response to your amazing generosity. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.